You know what you need to do, right? 2020 left so many uncertain, but 2021 gives new hope, but with bigger challenges than ever before. The only thing stopping you is your own fear. Don't settle. The book we talk about today helps break through those barriers so that you can confidently walk forward in the direction of your dreams, no matter what may come. Stick with us today to become an immovable force for something bigger and better than you've ever dreamed. Welcome to the Readout Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Welchens. For the past 10 years, I've been helping young leaders reach their potential. At Readout, our belief is that to lead out, you have to read out. And to read out means to read well and to read broadly. Almost every great leader in history has been a reader. And we wholeheartedly agree with Margaret Fuller when she said, "Today a reader, tomorrow a leader." Reading is not optional to leadership. It's not the side dish. It's the main course. And in order to become a great leader, you have to dig in. But here's the problem. We here at Readout know that in this day and age, time and energy is hard to come by. My hope is to save you that time and energy and bring you the best books that can have impact in your life right now. Then I want to teach you to get the most out of these books so that you can become the leader you've always dreamed of being faster than you ever imagined. Our dream is to create a movement of young adults passionate about reading and dangerously effective at leading. Thank you to everyone sharing and reviewing us. I truly appreciate that you would take the time to do that. We need your help building the movement. It means a lot to me that you would do that for us. Today, we're continuing our new series, Two Birds with One Book. In this series, we're going to be focusing on those rare books that grip you with entertainment while leaving you a better person on the other side. As leaders, we're all busy with new goals, habits, visions, and dreams in 2021, and so we wanted to bring you books that would grab your attention up front while also helping you move forward in your leadership at a pace you didn't see coming. Get ready. There are some seriously entertaining and life-changing books on deck. This book is one of those rare stories that stirs the best in us as we face a year with more opportunity and more uncertainty than ever. My grandpa was a great man, but it was clear to me from an early age that he had many challenges in his health. I learned that he suffered from a rare disease. On the outside, he appeared the perfect picture of health. He swam every day, he ate fairly healthy, and he showed restraint. You would have looked at him and predicted long life for sure, but there was a problem none of us could see, and it was called amyloidosis, and it was a rare genetic disease in which essentially his body attacked itself from the inside. On any given day, his body might choose to attack itself for no other reason than that some programming internally had gone awfully wrong. The results? His interior was slowly being transformed from a fresh, energy-giving life engine to a sedimentary, rock-like environment in which growth was slowed, in which life would ultimately be snuffed out. The condition was slowed with medicines for many years, but it, combined with other factors, would ultimately take the life of a great man. Most of you listening are either in college or freshly just outside of college, within 5 years or so. I'm just a little bit further along than you, but let me share with you a concern that's been brewing in my soul over the past 5 years. It's about a condition I've seen so many embrace in their time in college and or just outside of it. It's called settle-itis. It's been a disease contracted by so many over such a long period of time that in some ways, we just stop noticing it and challenging it. And here's what it looks like. It looks like this. We come into our later teens and early 20s ready to change, ready to grow, ready to impact the world in a major way. Rare is the college freshman who enters college saying to themselves they want to grow up to be a mediocre accountant stuck pushing papers all day, who leads a predictable life with no change, no fear, no purpose. Shout out to all the great accountants out there. I love accountants. I think it's an awesome job, but no one wants to do that specifically, right? You get into accounting because you want to change the world through business, or because you want to have adventures, auditing, or things like that. It's also rare to find the 23-year-old who just entered the workforce who says, as long as I make $40,000 a year and have a perfectly monotonous life, I'll be happy. Our souls simply won't allow that, and for good reason. There's so much more to life, yet here's the unfortunate thing. Settleitis always works its way in. And here's what it looks like if we're not careful. The first way this can look is the college freshman who dreams of becoming a world-renowned psychologist, helping patients who desperately need her, day in and day out. And she's slowly convinced that actually, she should choose something more acceptable for her station, something less risky, and with more certainty that her male peers would look on with respectability. Or settleitis could look like this. The new grad who joins an incredible financial firm who dreams of becoming the next small-scale Bill Gates, using their wealth for good, and who, despite all the naysayers saying it's too risky or why they don't pay you instead of you having to earn it, earns an incredible living and resources to impact change. They're on their way. Yet slowly but surely, they start hoarding and spending that money on themselves. And instead of caring for that orphanage, they find themselves more worried about that promotion or their appearance in public. Or it could even look like this. The young adult who's passionate, who starts taking their faith seriously in college for the first time and lives a thrilling life while in college, pushing the boundaries of what's accepted and taking risks no one's ever conceived of them doing, changing lives and giving hope to people around them, only to find themselves 5 years down the road slipping into the socially acceptable, not really growing, but coasting and writing out their early experiences in a never-ending line of, I remember that time. What's caused the proliferation of settleitis? I believe it's fear. Fear of change. Fear of rejection. Fear of loss. Fear of what others think. Fear that's so subtle, if we don't have a way to diagnose it, it will force us to reach for the mundane instead of the greatness God has destined for each of us. How do you know if you suffer from settleitis? Well, here's three ways a leader can know that they've begun to settle. Number one, you stop taking risks. Risk is a sign of growth and courage. Not taking risk is a sign of scarcity mindsets, one that fears losing resources or that thinks opportunities are scarce. When was the last time you took a good risk? Not necessarily risking for risk's sake, but doing something that scared you because it was worth doing. As leaders, we have to shape the future, and that means often stepping into uncertainty and the unknown, which means risk. As a leader, you should be risking every week to pave the way to the future. The second way we can tell we're starting to fall into settleitis is this. You've stopped engaging new people. Entering others' lives is hard work. When we're younger, we have no problems taking steps to engage new people because we have to. Whether it's the first year of college or a family move, youth brings us into new relationships naturally. But as you age, this gets harder. This is an especially important way to know if you've stagnated or settled. People need you in their lives. But unfortunately, we tend to grab a friend or a friend group as we get older and settle into the same old, same old. Leadership requires being intentional with people, but fear, or maybe laziness, drives us to stop putting in the work with others. Continue diving in with new relationships. It will expand your world and keep you sharp as a leader. The third way you can tell that you're falling into settleitis is this. You stop being generous. If I asked a three-year-old to hand someone a $100 bill, he would without even thinking about it. Why? Because he thinks there are unlimited resources and because he naturally thinks the other person is worthy of benefiting from those resources. We may find that funny or silly, but there's an important lesson here. Right now, he's generous, but the forces of the world will push him to be less so and to hoard. All hoarding is driven by fear, and fear causes us to settle for what there is around us. Don't be a hoarder. Be generous, embrace abundance, and live in a way that constantly gives. When was the last time you gave more than you thought you should? Not just money, but time and energy and resources. Generosity is a great killer of settleitis. Be generous. Another way to kill settleitis is to read about those who have done so at a dangerous rate. Those who've rejected the status quo and said, I'm not going to let fear dictate my life, but I'm going to push myself and those around me to our limits and toward great potential. There's one man in one country I think of most when I think of killing this deadly disease. We'll get to that in 1 second. The pandemic was just beginning. I was scheduled for some time off, but it felt like that was more of a mandate with the pandemic than a choice. I knew we were in for rough times, and I found myself wanting to be ready for that as a leader, but not knowing how to prepare. By dumb luck, I stumbled onto an amazing resource. I was scrolling Goodreads in search of a new tip when I saw a friend, shout out to Shane Braden, who posts great books all the time, of mine post that he wanted to read a certain book, a book called The Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson. As I started to turn the pages of this book, I started to realize I had found something unique and something so timely. I found the story of an amazing leader, Winston Churchill, as he led an entire country through the darkest of times. Does that sound familiar? Now, this may be hard to imagine, but with him and his country going through what they went through in World War II, in many ways, it was more difficult than what we're facing now. And that's a good thing, because you can learn how to defeat the current difficulties just like Winston and his country did back many years ago. They had every right to fear destruction, but they didn't. They had every right to settle like everyone else around them, but they didn't. How did they come by such fortitude in one of the darkest hours? Pick up the book, Splendid in the Vile, to find out. Now, here's some leadership gold from Splendid in the Vile, and here's the context you got to know. This is an excerpt from the book, but it's coming right after the British just pulled off an amazing evacuation from France. Now, that doesn't sound like a win. It was actually a battle called Dunkirk. Maybe you guys have seen the movie. But basically, Britain was doomed. They were out of luck, and basically everyone was predicting that they would never be able to get off of Dunkirk and back to England to fight another day. But they did. And this is what happened in the aftermath. Check out this excerpt in this leadership gold from The Splendid and the Vile. On June 4th, the last day of the evacuation, in an address to the House of Commons, Churchill again turned to oratory, this time to bolster the empire as a whole. First, he applauded the success at Dunkirk, though he added a sober reminder, wars are not won by evacuations. As he neared the conclusion of the speech, he fired his boilers. We shall go on to the end, he said, in a crescendo of ferocity and confidence. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. As the House roared its approval, Churchill muttered to a colleague, and we will fight them with the butt end of broken bottles, because that's bloody well all we've got. His daughter Mary, who sat in the gallery that day beside Clementine, found the speech breathtaking. It was now that my love and admiration of my father became enhanced by an increasing element of hero worship, she wrote. One young man who was in the Navy, Ludovic Kennedy, later to achieve fame as a journalist and broadcaster, recalled how, when he heard it, we knew in an instant that everything would be all right. What a leader! What tenacity! Winston Churchill and his country refused to let fear dictate the day, and so should we as leaders. If you want to grow in this, buy the book. And in fact, if you want to help out the podcast at the same time, just check out the show notes. We always put the links of the books that we pub in the show notes, and you can go buy them there. We get part of the proceeds at no extra cost to you, so we can continue bringing you the best content possible. Also, we have a deal for Audible books if that's the best for you. Click it out. Here's today's shortcut to greatness. We know that everyone can't start reading the book today, so think of this as the cliff notes you can apply today until you get the book. Today's shortcut to greatness from The Splendid and the Vile is this: be real. Period. That's it. Great leaders know they should minimize their weaknesses and hindrances to leading, but too much image management will hurt your leadership. People don't want great, larger-than-life leaders. They want real leaders. And it's hard to imagine being realer than Winston Churchill. He was known for greatness, but also for wearing pink silk robes around their headquarters, taking calls from his daily bath, doing most of his work from his bed, and staring out the window for extremely large stretches of time just thinking. Not your prototypical leader, but one of the all-time greats. He was real, and you should too. This book freed me to be, well, more me, and it will do the same for you. That's book four for Two Birds with One Book. Stay tuned to the podcast for more books just like it that are ridiculously entertaining and solidly helpful. This is your host, Jake Welchens, and remember, life's too short for bad books. If you know someone out there who would benefit from today's episode, please share it. Let's build this thing together. I need your help. To connect or see what I'm reading right now, follow me on my Instagram at Jake Welchens or my Goodreads profile at www.goodreads.com/Jake Welchens. This podcast is brought to you by the Launchpad Podcast Collection and performed and written by myself, Jake Welchens. Podcast production by the one and only Logan Bongean. See you next time on Readout.